Hello and welcome in Jesus' name. My name is John Kester. You are listening to a recorded sermon of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed and encouraged as we share the Word of God together. This fellowship is an outreach of Theological Foundations Ministries. We invite you to visit our website at www.theologicalfoundations.com. and www.marriagedivorce.com. There you will find a wealth of messages, material, and online teachings, and books which you can download, copy, and burn to a CD, and distribute to your friends, family, freely without charge or obligation. To partner with us, please go to www.theologicalfoundations.com and click on the links for How Can I Help? Now, let's get out our Bibles as we follow along with today's message. Here is the chaplain of the Spirit of Hosea Fellowship, Stephen Wilcox.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together once again this morning in worship and to pray and to love on you and to hear from you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you control this entire message, Lord. Control my mind and tongue so that I will only say what you want me to say. I will only think what you want me to think, Lord. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Don't let me have any double-mindedness or confusion. Please, Lord, give me the gift of clarity, I pray. I ask you, Lord, to open the ears of all those that should hear this message so that these truths will penetrate through the power of the Holy Spirit all the way to their hearts so that they can be changed, Lord, to transform and empowered and live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading throughout this message today, chapter 3 verses 1 to 17. We're only going to start in the first three verses, but we're going to read the whole thing, Lord willing, by the time it's over. Now let me explain why we are here. In my opinion, Colossians chapter 3, at least verses 1 to 17, is just like a zip file that you download. It is a whole lot of information that's just crammed. There's no room for anything extra or for any detail. It's just crammed with huge amount of information. But Paul, the author of Colossians, took every single point, it appears, that's in Colossians 3, 1 to 17, and he expanded on it greatly at length elsewhere. To me, it is one of the most important pieces of scripture in not the theory of Christianity, not the theory in the divinity, not the theory of the nature of God or the creation of the world or the path of salvation, but it is a practical and it is a detailed instructions and explanation of how to live the Christian life. And I don't think that there is anything more required in the Church of Jesus Christ in this generation than some instructions and some obedience in how to live as a Christian. We don't need a single new building in which people go on Sunday morning to talk about the idea of God or to philosophize or to find some kind of relief and religious observance. We need to know what the will of God is and we need to obey it. And that's what Colossians 3, 1 to 17 outlines, but which is detailed elsewhere. I'm going to read everything that I'm reading today from the New American Standard. Please feel free to use whichever version you wish, but the New American Standard has a particular application in a particular verse, and that's the reason that I'm using it today. And you will see it when I get to it, because I will tell you. Please feel free to use any other version. Nothing is going to be any substantially different, except for that one portion which I will point out. But let's beginning with Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1, reading for now only to verse 3. Verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Unquote. Let me go back to verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So, what specifically is Paul talking about on the things that are not on the earth, but the things that are from God? What did Paul the Apostle have in mind? Well, you know something? He told us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. Now keep your finger, please, for your own sake here, so that you're not going to wear your Bible out. Keep your finger at Colossians chapter 3. But turn with me, please, to Philippians 4, verses 5 to 9. Quote, "Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near." Stop. You know what that means? That means that the Lord is watching your attitude with every single phrase that you say. He is looking at why you use the words you do, why you feel the way you feel, and He is near. Remember that. Verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing." Boy, do I ever need to know that. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension," and I just want to add my own words, all reason as well, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatever, and this is so critical, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Stop for a moment. What Paul means is, finally, brethren, whatever is untrue, don't think of them. Whatever is dishonorable, don't think of that. Whatever is wrong, don't let your mind go there. Whatever is impure, never, never, never. Whatever is ugly, stay away from it. Whatever is a bad reputation, don't go there. And if there is anything that is wrong, and if anything is to be shunned and avoided, do not dwell on those things ever. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Unquote. That last verse is a promise, not just thrown out as an idea or an inspirational challenge or a motivation. It's certainly not rhetorical. It's not think big and act positive, and the force will be with you. This is not empty advice or slogans. Paul says, look here, what you have learned about God from me and understood what it means because I explained it to you, just as I taught you, because I have led you by example, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you, Paul says, just as He is with me. Paul says that the peace of God is automatically bought when there is trust and when there is purity of faith. And he explained it elsewhere. Verse 9, "The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And in particular, he explains that even further elsewhere. But let's go back right now to Colossians, our primary text, and it's our index for other things that we're going to be looking up. So let's go right back to Colossians 3, and let's pick it up at verses 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. Now, I told you that there would be a difference that would come in by the New American Standard, and it is in verse 6. Now, according to the notes, and I try to look up and try to find out what's going on with this, two of the earliest manuscripts, and we could get into a fight over KJV only and the majority text and all the rest of it, but let's not do it. But two of the earliest texts maintain that the last portion of verse 6 is not there in the original writings. And I don't know whether it is or whether it should be or whether it shouldn't, but when you take it out, boy, I'll tell you, does there ever come a lot of meaning. So let me read it to you the way that it is the New American Standard, and then the way that they said perhaps it really should be read afterwards, but we'll do it the way it's written now. Number 5, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, or evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them," unquote. Now, the New American Standard says that upon the sons of disobedience is an interpolation, is an addition. But they showed it both ways, but this is the way that they would like to interpret it. "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come." And you know something? Both are true. Upon the sons of disobedience and upon everyone else as well. But it will come and it can't be avoided because people have not avoided the sin. Paul is saying that the word of God that punishes sin by execution here on earth if necessary and hellfire has not faded away. If we know Christ and he knows us, we will turn away and we'll turn off and we'll render powerless and lifeless the evil nature and the practices that we once did. There is no room in a Christian for the Son of God and evil to reside in the same heart, brothers and sisters. There's no room, for the wrath of God will come upon all who sustain sin in their life. We once lived like that. I once lived like that. You once lived like that. But we are to say no more. And through the grace and the power of God, we are to live holy lives. Paul laid it out so clear in the section of Scripture known for its clarity. And let's go right to where it is. You've heard this before. You're going to hear it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Keep your finger right where you are in Colossians, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Quote, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Stop for a moment. God said no. Jesus said no. Paul says not. Verse 11. "Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Unquote. That is a rather significant list of the ought nots and the don't do's and the no no's that will, not may or might, but will condemn all who practice these lifestyles and do not turn to God so that they turn away from them. If you do these things, you will die by these things. Now Paul adds, "Do not be deceived," which means, by the way, that this point here is likely where Satan and other people and false prophets will try to deceive you. That these things, the people that do these things, don't pay the eternal price of hellfire. Paul said, don't be deceived here. These things and the people that do these things, they don't go to heaven unless they're repented of and stopped. Let's go back to Colossians 3. And now, let's just pick on verses 8 to 10. Here we go. Quote, "But now you also put them all aside, anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Unquote. This new self as a Christian. You and I are stripped of the sins and the sinfulness that separated us from God. The new man, the child of God, the image of God himself. There is so much demand and command contained in one of these verses, just a really small verse, and it's Colossians 3:10. Let's look at that one in particular, the last one that we just read. "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the God who created him." This is an ongoing process. It's a living transmutation, an active operation. Today's news in each one of us, the Spirit of God is alive in us that is putting to death the old man and is giving life to the new man, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, not just a past point of theology. I was saved on March the 16th, 1961. And thank the Lord that I haven't sinned or done anything wrong since. Anybody says something like that or reasonably close to that, time to plug your ears. It's not just a past point of theology. It's not just a past dead confession. Or it's not some future act of God where nothing happens now. It isn't. It's right now, real time. Those who are Christians are those that are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Unquote. That's a loaded verse. Fortunately, I don't have to be inventive as to what it meant. Paul has unpacked it elsewhere. In multiple books and letters, here is just one of the details. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Now, this is long, and I'm going to ask that you read it out loud with me. If you're driving your car and you're listening to this on a CD, then maybe just hit the pause button or shut it off here. Pick it up later on when you can pull over or when you are home, because I would like you to read your Bible along with mine as I read this here, even if it's in a different translation. Just turn the volume down on me and read it in sequence if you can. It's extremely important that you hear this with your ears and you see this with your eyes so that your heart will understand this. This is critical. Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. I'm going to go slow. Quote, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each other, of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the ones who have need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the needs of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom were you sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Unquote. The key to understanding and measuring these things is contained in verse 32. Let me just read it again. Verse 32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." This phrase, "just as God in Christ has forgiven you," has been repeated throughout the themes of the New Testament, particularly in Paul's writings from end to end. Now let's go back to Colossians again, but this time let's go just chapter 3. We'll go verses 11 to 13. "A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, freeman, but Christ in all and in all. So, as though you have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive them." Unquote. Verse 13 is identical to the last verse that we just read in Ephesians 4. There is not to be any mixing of the flesh with the spirit that we are tied to like a dead corpse. See, the flesh is tied to us. You are still in your body. You can't get out of your body until God takes you out of it. It's still part of you, but it's like a dead corpse, and the spirit that we strive to live in and by and through are together. We must not under any circumstances stoop so low as to justify what we do in order to mislabel the sins of the flesh or the fruit of the spirit, getting them mixed up, not knowing which is which. Never. That's what's wrong in the church and in Christian circles today, is they don't know the difference between what the sins of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. We need to be very, very clear. The Bible is painted with the difference. The Holy Spirit tells each one of us the difference. The truth in these things is evident to all. Paul again explains in detail elsewhere in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 26. So we're going to springboard right from Colossians 3 to Galatians 5, verses 19 to 26. Now, there's no reason to be confused as to which is which. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. Unquote. In other words, brothers and sisters, let's act like Christians are supposed to act, like followers of Jesus Christ, not just religious people that worship by the elemental principles of this world. One is life, eternal life. The other is death, eternal damnation, and there's no point in between. Let's go back to our Colossians chapter 3 text. This time we'll read verses 14 to 17. Here we go. Quote, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly indwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Unquote. Paul repeated this in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 33, and we're going to go there last and finally. And also 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Now, those that numbered the scriptures and divided them up into chapters and verses separated those verses apart from each other. But I believe, after reading it in context, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 belongs to 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 33. They go together. Therefore then, you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Unquote. Heavenly Father, please transform us into your image. We don't want to live according to the flesh, and we want to, Lord, desperately to live according to the Spirit. Fill us with your power. Give us your Holy Spirit. Pour it into us, Lord. We repent and we turn from our sins. Help us to walk ever so closely to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you've been blessed and encouraged by the Word of God today, shared by our fellowship. We invite you to visit www.theologicalfoundations.com and www.marriagedivorce.com to listen to other Spirit of Hosea sermons and to have free access to a wealth of teaching and materials from various pastors, teachers, and authors in the body of Christ. This ministry is maintained entirely by your ongoing prayers and generous financial support. We thank you for listening and trust that you will draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is John Kester saying goodbye for now, and may God bless you.